This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato and have Tony Stevens with me today. Good to see you, Tony.
Yeah.
It's we don't hang out as often anymore. You know, you've been doing other things, but you're kind of making your way back into the sector.
Yeah. You know, it's really good to see you, and thanks for inviting me back on the show. I have been bouncing around a little bit, but yes, the sector is very, very close to my heart, so I would love to be of service. And yeah, there are some exciting new things that I'm doing, developing a coaching practice so that I can help people design habits that serve their goals and aspirations and help them sort of fulfill the sort of lifestyle that they want to live, yeah.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the work that you've gone into and that you've been developing. I want to start off with a bit of background about you, like who you are. Who are you, Tony? Where have you come from? And kind of what's led you to this point?
Yeah. It's an interesting story, I think. I've been in the community sector for nearly 10 years leading an organization you might have heard of called the Young Workers Resource Centre, a bit of an institution in the Waikato. So, really, really strong community presence. But I think personally what led me to this point was some tragic things that happened in my life. I lost my brother to suicide about 8 years ago.
I'm sorry, I didn't take a breath. Is it that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Wow.
And around a similar time period, I was in a long-term relationship that also concluded. So there was some pretty, let's say, a dark night of the soul kind of followed those experiences and a lot of recalibrating where I was at in my life. I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I was deeply unhappy, in fact, and I became quite interested in how the F do I become happy again.
Yeah.
And it got me quite passionate.
And that would be really hard when you're in the midst of darkness like that and your whole life has changed in so many ways that will never go back to how it was before. That must be a really, you know, such a challenging time to think, but I want to be happy again. Like, because sometimes people find even that hard to think about, right?
Yeah. And I think if I try and reflect on it, a lot of it feels like a fog, a bit of a haziness. So there was a period where that just seemed out of reach, but I can't really remember it. It's just so hazy. I do remember becoming really fascinated by psychology because I was like, surely a pathway to understanding how to be happy is understanding the brain, understanding my mind. Like, how do I think? How do I hack my brain back into happiness? Surely there must be some tools and strategies and perspective shifts that I can leverage to discover some sense of peace within myself.
So you actually then chose to study psychology formally, didn't you, up at the university?
Yeah, I did. And I took a real passion to positive psychology rather than the more clinical psychology, which is, you know, it's great. But I gravitated towards positive psychology because it's more strengths-based. It's about leaning into, our strengths, our, you know, what makes us sing, rather than looking at things through more of a deficit lens, like how do we fix?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Wrong?
How do we fix that? Yeah,
this is more like, okay, sure. We've got human foibles, but let's lean into what's going well, or let's lean into what really lights you up.
It's quite a different approach, isn't it? When you think, because I'd never really thought about that in depth, but they are opposite of each other, aren't they, in terms of how to kind of treat people.
Yeah, it was a very radical way of thinking when it came about.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it almost let's park the kind of let's fix what's wrong approach, and we, you know, we think we can get a lot better outcomes by getting people to focus on the good things in life, or actually let's just try and introduce more things that give you meaning and purpose in life, rather than trying to dig into all the ways that your life hasn't been going well.
You know, this is such a segue, you know, and it's not at all meant to be dismissive, but it reminds me a lot of dog training as well, and this was seen as very radical too, when you actually focused on what was going right and were more reward based and strengths based and positive rather than what's wrong and how do you correct it. You know, certainly within the world of dog training, it's been extremely hard, even with all the evidence that demonstrates that's actually what helps resolve problematic behaviour for people managing dogs that are reactive or anxious or various other issues. And I wonder if there's been a similarity in terms of getting the, I don't know if respect's the right word, but the... acknowledgement of the value of that particular type, that positive psychology?
Well, and I think what you're touching on there is something that was a revelation for me, is that we change best by feeling good.
Yeah.
Not by feeling bad.
Yeah, so true, eh? And you help change in others by helping them feel good rather than making them feel bad, right? Yeah. Like, how often does a kid change when you say, terrible child, terrible behaviour. They don't feel motivated to do better generally, do they?
No, and that's when a lot of the issues that the clinical psychologists are helping people emerge from those historical traumas of their parents being, let's be honest, a bit mean. That's what I love, and that's what made a real difference and turned things around for me was, going through that education and discovering that lens to look at the world through. I still struggle with the implementation. You know, like I learned a lot about mindfulness practices, a lot of the kind of positive psychology tools and that can help you to see things in a different way. But there was a missing piece for me, that's when I discovered. I had a really good clinical psychologist I was working with, but and she actually recommended me. So they know as well that, you know, that positive psychology has a lot of value to bring into the conversation.
Yeah.
And she recommended a book, which some people may have heard of, called Atomic Habits. And that was a framework for me to start bringing these practices into my life.
Mm.
And that was a way for me to start feeling good, because I was making change and I was feeling good about making it, and it was really simple and really accessible, and gave me momentum towards, it gave me a curriculum where I, you know, if I want to have this goal or chase that aspiration, then you build a system.
Mm.
And the system is the collection of habits that you do on a daily basis. So, that's been a game changer for me, and I want to give back to the community and to people who, you know, that are probably struggling to change in the ways they want, and just need a little bit of guidance.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're now coaching. That is your current role now as a coach for people around building these good habits and taking time to reflect on where you want to be and then how to get there. Do you want to explain a little bit about, you know, what it is you're doing with people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am I'm a tiny habits coach, and what I want to help people do is discover their aspirations, or if they're already quite clear on their aspirations and don't know what there, like how to get there.
The pathway to it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the classic example, someone who sets a New Year's resolution to get in shape and then they drop it after a couple of months just because they don't have the process.
Very common, Tony, very common. I think we've all been there.
We've all been there. I've been there. It sounds like you've been there as well.
Absolutely.
So I want to help people actually find a way to achieve those goals in their life, design that lifestyle they want, you know, without having to rely on Herculean levels of self-discipline. And it's really about bringing...
And feeling unpleasant, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, when it feels like you have to have the strength of Hercules to stay on the right path, then you're not having fun.
That's right. And you should feel good. And that is one of the keys to change is really, I mean, if we want to look at it in a neurological lens just briefly, if we can get those neurochemicals like dopamine into the mix by feeling good about the activities we're doing, that reinforces the likelihood that we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
So one of the techniques that I love to use with people is to get them to celebrate even the smallest, you know, occasion where they show up for a habit they're trying to build.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just that they want to drink more water and they successfully, you know, poured a glass of water and left it by the kettle for them when they wake up in the morning to make their coffee, and they drink the water and just get them to celebrate that, even if it doesn't feel like they're making huge amounts of progress, but to get them to trigger that reward chemical to kick in.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that sounds marvelous. I was thinking celebrate drinking water with a glass of wine, but it doesn't sound like the way you were going, right?
I mean, that's one way to do it. But that, you know, yeah.
Might depend on what your goals are. it is really good. I'm really curious to know what you mean by celebrating. What does, because obviously we're not talking about a glass of wine every time you achieve something.
Yeah.
So what does a celebration look like?
Well, a lot of times people have probably heard the rhetoric around reward and you know, maybe even in dog training, like positive reinforcement.
Absolutely.
Giving them a treat. But you're probably not giving them a chocolate bar or something that's not good for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes it's cheese.
And it doesn't have to be an external thing.
Yes.
Either we want it to be it can just be basically what we're trying to do is trigger a positive emotional response to the behavior, so it can be as simple as smiling, it can be a fist pump, you know, any kind of celebration that
a
feels
positive affirmation or
something that you bring in immediately after doing that behavior. It needs to happen immediately so you can build the neural association.
I mean, in dog training, we use often a marker, like a yes.
Yeah.
You know, and often that's preceded then with a treat. And, of course, Pavlov's salivating dogs, we know that then the marker ends up being essentially the treat. That's what triggers the dopamine So similar things, right? It's the same theory in terms of how our brains work.
Pavlovian conditioning on ourselves.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But so, you know, and what's wonderful about that is that we tend to do it to dogs. This is an opportunity to take control of your own life, right?
Yeah, and I love the way you frame that, actually. Mm-hmm. This is a way to design your own life.
Yeah.
The way you want. That's the most powerful component of this for me. And what it's done for me, and I know what it's done for others and some of the clients that I'm working with, is it gives you a framework to design your life your way.
Yeah.
And now, you know, any element of change that comes along that you desire, whether that's eating more nutritiously, working out more, maybe you want to build mindfulness practices, maybe you have a goal of being a writer, or you have certain projects that you need to work towards, and you're struggling with consistency, it gives you a way to boil it down. You make it really achievable by, making it tiny to start with. Make it easy to show up. Make it easy to start, and then reward yourself by celebrating.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, I suppose, an opportunity in the future, at least, to be able to access some of this through workshops at Community Waikato. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to Split Ends, 6 months in a Leaky Boat.
Well, I
I was going to say love not given lightly because we were just talking about that off air. But that was not Chris Knox. That was Split Ends and 6 months in a Leaky Boat, another classic New Zealand track. I'm here with Tony Stevens today, and it's great to have you back in this sector, and it's great to have an opportunity to chat to you again. And it's really timely because, you know, we know that people are feeling a lot of pressure at the moment. There's a lot going on. We know, I'm sure it impacts everybody everywhere, but from that community perspective, we know that there's a lot of pressure on community services, that financially organisations are finding it harder. You know, that has a significant impact on well-being. So it's really timely for people to consider well-being. And when we were talking earlier, not on this show, but earlier, you know, we talked about how EAP has been an option for a lot of organisations, you know, to provide support for staff who are struggling. But it's quite an expensive option for non-profit organisations.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. And I think what's really, what I've found to be really valuable, and having managed a community organisation as well, you kind of, people tell you what their experiences are with EAP, and you get it because you think it's something that you need to have. And you do need to have, you need to have ways of supporting your staff's well-being in and out of the workplace. That's absolutely critical. Every organisation needs to be thinking about that. And what's really, if you're thinking about external professionals to support your staff, and like that, that is needed. Managers don't have the capacity to offer that, you know, to be the coach, the therapist, the, you know.
And also sometimes you need those roles quite separated at times, because at times you need to talk about what's going on perhaps at work that you are not in a position or ready to share with a manager.
Yeah. And it can be a lot. It can be a lot to bring into that relationship.
That's right.
As well. But what I wanted to say was, people need to build a relationship with those people that they're seeking support from, build that, what we call in psychology, a therapeutic alliance, you know, build an alliance with the person that you're kind of spilling your heart and soul out to. And that can be difficult to do through something like EAP. That's what I've noticed. So
this is an alternative, isn't it? Well, you know, because I think it's good to have lots of options in the kitty. You know, it's not just about one thing, right? But what suits different people at different times.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. What I'm really interested in is supporting people to develop the habits in their life that give them momentum, that give them progress and a process towards their goals, their aspirations in their life. So
what do you mean by habit exactly?
Yeah, well, a habit is an automatic behavior, something that we do without thinking. And then you've got routine behaviors as well, which might be something a little bit more conscious. But a lot of the reason, one of the reasons I'm so fascinated by habits is because most of our behavior is habitual, but a lot of the, you know, something between 40% and 70% of our behavior is unconscious. It's done automatically. Imagine if we were able to take more control over that, get behind, you know, get into the source code, design it ourselves intentionally, and then set it to do its thing.
Yeah.
But with our design, you know, behind it, you know, that has a lot of power. But for a lot of us, we haven't really kind of gone in there and tinkered around with it and design it, because we don't know how. We don't understand the kind of behavior science behind it in order to be able to get in under the hood, tinker with it and get it working for us.
You know, we were talking earlier, and I'd be quite keen to hear your thoughts about this. You know, is there a difference then between working with someone who's would describe themselves as neurotypical from someone who would describe themselves as neurodiverse in terms of the theory behind what you are doing?
I mean, there is a difference. What we tend to find, what I do feel confident in saying, is that what works for people that have neurodivergent, they're on the spectrum, have ADHD, what works for them, what works for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have been able to implement this sort of approach with my son who has neurodivergence, and I've got friends and had colleagues that have explored this approach as well. And being able to know how to successfully set up a system for you to be able to be productive is a big part of feeling successful. And when you're able to have systems that enable you to feel successful and productive, then you can offset some of the some of the ways you can go back in on yourself, some of the ways that cause you to feel defeated or even develop depression or anxiety around, not being able to accomplish or stick to things. So the method that I like to bring in is called the Tiny Habits Method, and that is really about designing behaviors in ways that are easy for us to remember to do. They're attached to maybe pre-existing habits that we already have, so that when we do that existing one, like a rock solid habit might be brushing your teeth or getting in your car is something that you do pretty frequently, so you can attach behaviors to that and then make them real small so that they don't require a lot of motivation to start. And then once you've successfully been able to show up for those small behaviors on a regular basis, they'll start to feel more ingrained. You've gathered evidence that you're the sort of person that can start things and stick to them. You start to feel better about yourself. You start to have a bit more structure.
So in the workshop, so we're looking at Community Waikato to partner with Tony to run a workshop for organisations who would like to send some of their staff to learn about some of this stuff, to support people's well-being, both in the workplace but also in people's personal lives, because we know that, that's important as well. Are these the sorts of things we'd learn and perhaps start identifying for individuals? Is that what you're thinking for the workshop?
Yeah, I mean, for this workshop, what I'd love to give people is the tools, the Tiny Habits Method, an easy process that they can implement into their lives, help them understand exactly what a habit is, how you can design them successfully into your life, how you can build the... How you attach them, how you design, what tweaks you might need to make to your environment in order to be successful, because that's really key. It's pretty hard for, if you're planting a garden in bad soil or soil that doesn't nourish those seeds, then they're not likely to grow it's going to be a lot harder. So that's the analogy or the metaphor rather that I like, that I think is really powerful. We want to start with really small seeds and plant them in nourishing soil. So that's definitely a component of what I like to talk about in the workshop, is how do we create environments that support our goals, that support the habits that we're trying to develop. Our environments physically, our social environments as well, our
critical
workplace environments.
So, basically what we're saying is watch this space. It is going to be a really good workshop. I'm keen to sign up myself, Tony, so I'm looking forward to that. Do watch this space. You will see it advertised in our weekly bulletin. So do sign up for that if you haven't already. Thanks, Tony. I really do appreciate you coming and sharing. We'll do a bit of a push too once we've actually got you nailed down with a date. So we'll let people know it's coming.
Yeah, thank you, Holly. I really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to come in and chat with you and talk about things that I'm passionate about, so I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to see you. And you've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.5.
The This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.